Gospels, we learn about Jesus. We hear Jesus is born. We hear a little bit about how he grew up. But then ultimately, most of the Gospels are about Jesus teaching, healing, being with the people. Now, his ministry was not very long, just a couple of years, in fact. But during that time, he gathered together a handful of disciples. Those were hand-picked people that he brought close to them. They served with him, they learned from him, and then they ultimately went out and shared the gospel with others. Well, Jesus did a lot of teaching, he did a lot of healing, and at one point, a group of parents brought a group of children to meet Jesus. And those disciples, strong and bold disciples, were protecting Jesus, and they said to these parents, no, no, no. They rebuked the parents. They said, Jesus is not for kids right now. And they were probably thinking they were protecting Jesus, and they probably thought something like, the things Jesus is talking about is not for children. It's going to go over their heads. They don't ask intelligent questions. Jesus is for older folks. But they were wrong. Jesus, he was indignant with his disciples. He was irked. He was irritated. And he said to the disciples, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Children are important to God. In this example, Jesus is saying to them, to the parents, come, I want them here. And you know what he did? He took those kids, he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. Children are an important part of the family of God. Children are an important part of our church body here at First Free, and each and every child is valued and created in the image of God. This summer, we've been in a sermon series called Every Moment Holy. We've been looking at different facets of lives, of our lives, and how to make each and every one of those compartments holy. Today, we are concluding this sermon series by taking a look at parenting. We're going to look at some scripture, dive into it together, and then we're going to talk about some practical applications that I think will be helpful tools for parenting. We're going to camp out today primarily in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 6. So we have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book of the Bible. And the word Deuteronomy means second giving of the law. Deuteronomy does a lot of repeating of the laws and commands and decrees that God gave to Moses, who gave to the Israelites. Moses is talking to the Israelites here, and he's preparing them to enter the promised land. He's reminding them of the covenant they made with God and reminding them of the laws to follow. They were laws to protect them, to help provide guidance for them, and to be their source of a guide. Moses is old during this time, and he is giving his farewell address to the Israelites. Now, this past spring in elementary Bible time and children's church, we did a lot of learning about Moses and the Israelites. So for the sake of the kids here and for the sake of the rest of us, we're going to do a little history of Moses, all right? So Moses was born when it was not a real advantageous time to be born as an Israelite. The Israelites were enslaved in Egypt. All of them were slaves. And when Moses specifically was born, Pharaoh decreed that all little boys should die. There were too many Israelites. But Moses' mom, bless her heart, she put Moses in a basket, sent him down the river to save his life. He was picked up and raised in the house of Pharaoh. So he was essentially raised as an Egyptian, but he knew he was an Israelite. As he grew older, he had a quarrel with a fellow Egyptian and ended up killing that Egyptian. Moses fled. He left. He went to Midian, where he spent a number of years. And during that time in Midian, God spoke to Moses. He talked to him in the burning bush. Remember the burning bush? And God said to Moses, you are to be the leader to take the Israelites out of slavery and into another land. Moses, of course, was like, not interested, Lord. I don't talk well. I don't feel like I'm a leader. But the Lord said, I will be with you. I will guide you. And I am calling you to go do this. Moses then went back to Egypt, where he told Pharaoh, hey, God said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, no. God said, I'm going to send these plagues on the Egyptians. And sure enough, after 10 plagues, Pharaoh said, okay, you can go. In fact, go, get out. So Moses led the Israelites to the Red Sea. The Red Sea parted, and all of the Israelites exited. They left slavery. They found freedom. God directed them into the new land. They went across the river into the desert, where they spent the next 40 years wandering around. The Israelites had some ups and they had some downs. Moses was committed to them. He was with them during that whole time. That's when God gave the Ten Commandments and these other decrees. And at this point, when we get into Deuteronomy 6, God is speaking through Moses to the Israelites as they are finally, after 40 years of wandering in the desert, entering the promised land. So join me in reading these, or listening along, following along with these passages. Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. The people hearing these words are the newer generation of Israelites. They were born in the wilderness, so it was their parents who were the original hearers of God's commands. Verse 2 says, so that you, your children, and their children. Moses is talking about a generational expectation. Moses is helping the Israelites prepare the future generations to come. And Moses refers back to the God of your ancestors. He's looking back, seeing what has happened in the past. The one true God has been passed down from generation to generation. God has been the Lord of this family and these people for generations past. And God wants what is best for the Israelites. God wants them to fear him, not cowering and afraid, but to give reverence, honor, praise, and obedience. Continuing on in Deuteronomy, this section is referred to as the Great Shema. In Hebrew, Shema means hear, but not just hear. Hear, pay attention, and obey. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Moses says for the second time in this passage, hear, Shema, listen up. This is important stuff to pay attention to. Moses is boiling down the commandments, the decrees, and laws into this one important great command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength. Moses is telling this generation of Israelites that this command should be on their hearts, which is the center of one's being. God desires for his truth to be deeply embedded within the core of a person. Think about our physical bodies. Our hearts are essential because they are the body's pump. Every organ, including our brains, our lungs, our kidneys, muscles, and skin, depends on a constant flow of blood to keep us alive and to have us properly function. The heart is essential for living, just as God's great command to love the Lord your God with everything you've got is essential. Your heart and your love for God affects your entire being. It affects your will, your obedience, your sense of truth, and your actions. Then Moses shifts in Deuteronomy to talking directly to parents. He says in verse 7, impress them on your children. It's not enough to just adopt this command for yourself and to be done with it. It is supposed to go on to the beyond the individual and passed on to the next generation. Here in 2026, we have the fortunate ability to look and see what happened years down the road from this time when Moses is talking to the Israelites. In the Bible, in the book of Judges, when Joshua is the leader of the Israelites, he came after Moses, the people served the Lord throughout his lifetime. However, in Judges 2, 10 through 12, it says this, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods and the people around them. Oh, can you just imagine Moses? Oh, one generation away from Moses talking to the Israelites about the great Shema, and it did not stick from generation to generation. This right here is why God is commanding his followers to love the Lord their God with everything they have and to impress them on their children. They had a responsibility. The chain of obedience is intended to keep going and not to be broken by a generation who ignores this command. It's important to keep God's commands and to keep the generations engaged in their love of God and their relationship with him. We continue on in Deuteronomy, and Moses gives us a great recipe for how we can keep this great command so that generations beyond will remember. Verse 7 says this, talk about them, that's these commands and the great Shema, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. If you have ever been around kids for any amount of time, you know that they talk a lot. They ask a lot of questions, sometimes lots and lots of questions. But it's a constant dialogue, and that's a primary way for kids to learn. Moses is saying that the language used should be about God. Talk about the laws. Talk about the decrees and the commands that are from God. Talk about the love of God, fearing him, their deliverance from Egypt, and the great miracles that they saw God perform. Talk about God all the time, not just at home, but when you're away from home and all times of the day. Moses continues this recipe in verse 8. He says this, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. The idea is to keep God's commands at the forefront of everyday life. Your hands, they indicate work and action, encouraging God's laws to be the driving force behind the decisions that you do and what's done on a regular basis. Having the laws on your forehead indicate your thoughts and your decisions, which God should be the center of. Many scholars believe that this was written to be a figure of speech and not actually a literal command. However, in the Jewish culture, some people have adopted the idea of wearing phylacteries. These are small leather cases, pouches, or boxes worn on a forehead or on an arm. And inside the little boxes are written the laws of God, including this verse from Deuteronomy 6. They are used as a method of remembering. And Moses is instructing the people to keep those reminders close at hand. Moses concludes in saying this in verse 9. He says, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. These written commands were a reminder to put God above everything when leaving your home and when coming back home. It would be a daily reminder of the family's covenant loyalty to God. Having a reminder on the gate refers to the city gate. That was outside of their home and in the community. A symbol on the gate was important because it indicated that this household, this community, are under the authority of God. Their love for God was not to be kept inside of the home. It was not just for the family, but for the neighborhood, the community, and the society. I believe these verses are the best parenting advice that we could ever receive. Especially Deuteronomy 6:4, we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength. If we get this command right, everything else in parenting will fall into place and into its rightful order. And I dare say for anything in life, not just parenting. If we focus in on this verse, this is the secret sauce here. All right, let's examine how these truths from Deuteronomy can apply to our lives today and how they can influence our parenting. First, make God your number one priority. The great commandment was true with the Israelites, and it remains true today. We read in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, Jesus is asked by a Pharisee, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." So here in the New Testament, Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy 6 and the great Shema that was announced to the Israelites all those years ago. Ultimately, what matters most is loving God with passion and loving people on purpose. If you've ever flown in an airplane before, you have probably heard from either the flight attendant or a safety video that now happens, if you are to lose cabin pressure in the airplane, a mask will drop from the ceiling and it will have oxygen flowing on it. You are to put that oxygen mask on your head, and then, and only then, are you to turn and assist the person next to you. Imagine having a child next to you. They are saying, make sure you are okay, that you can breathe, that you can take care of yourself before you shift your attention and focus on someone else. It's the same concept here. God is saying, make sure this is on your heart before you turn and assist the kids or those in your care around you. How do you remember to love God with all that you have? What do you symbolically bind on your forehead or your hand to remind yourself about God? Maybe it's a cross necklace you wear. Maybe it's a tattoo or a sticker on a watch. Do you have post-it notes around your house with scripture written? Do you sing songs that speak God's truths? Last weekend, I was with my sister, and we were talking through Deuteronomy 6 and this great command, and all of a sudden I went, oh, I know this song. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love all mankind as you would love yourself and love. And I realized this verse has been hidden in my heart since I was a child. My sister joined along and sang with me. We ended up singing it in a round. It was really great. Nobody was around, but we did it. But we both said to each other, this was foundational in our home. We learned from our parents, from our grandparents, from the church camp that we went to, this specific verse. And that has found a spot in my heart that will remain, I believe, forever, because that is a really catchy tune. And I believe that the Lord placed it there. That is a way to put God as number one. Sing songs about God. One of the regular prayers we pray here together at First Free is called the Christ Prayer. It's adapted from the St. Patrick's Prayer. Part of that prayer goes like this: Christ, shield me today. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me. Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down. What a strong prayer that we can pray to God. Christ be all around me. Love the Lord your God with everything you have. Make him your number one priority. Second point is incorporate God into all aspects of your home. This is where we make every moment holy, the name of our sermon series. We are making every moment holy by bringing God into every facet of our everyday regular lives, including how we respond to circumstances, how well we love others, and how we use our time. Our homes should be the hub of discipleship for ourselves and for our kids. Our homes should be infused with the life of God. We should not simply rely on coming to church on Sunday mornings and being taught. However, we've got a great children's ministry and we're here to partner with you. But parents, you are the primary teachers of your kids. Parents and caregivers have the most influence on the life of a child. Think about these few questions. Is the music we listen to in our home God-honoring? Are the shows we watch at home pointing my kids to Christ? Would I rather watch or attend a sporting event than go to church? What are my priorities? Are my decisions keeping my kids from knowing Jesus better? Kids pick up on our priorities. Kids are really great imitators. They will invest themselves in what you invest yourselves in. They will worship what you worship. Bring God into your home. Talk about stories from the Bible. Talk about these commandments. Memorize scripture together. Say prayers before meal, before school, and at bedtime. Talk about how God is working in your life. Invite God to be part of everyday life. Colossians 3:17 says this, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Talk about God when you play, when you clean, when you go for a walk. Make a game out of where you see God. During vacation Bible camp, we do God sightings. We write down where we see God. Do that with your kids. Do that on a daily basis. Where do you see God? And I want to add this here for those of you who have grown children or adult children who are no longer in your home. Your kids are still watching you. You still have influence on their lives. And to every single one of you, I would say this: you have influence on people around you. Neighbors, friends, grandkids, nieces, nephews, even the kids you meet at the store. You are a part of that generational expectation of handing down these commands of God to those in your sphere of influence. Parents, those who have influence on kids, you help shape the trajectory of your kids' faith in God. Number three, depend on a community to help influence your children. Take your faith into the community. Don't just keep it at home. Our homes were not intended to be bunkers and safety spots hidden away from the world and from others. But being in community is one of the huge benefits to being part of a church family. I would strongly encourage you to ask for help with raising kids. Utilize the community that God has given to you. Don't go it alone. Find someone who has kids a little older than you. Ask lots of questions. Ask for recommendations. Join an intergenerational small group. They are golden for learning about experiences that are different from yours. Parents of young kids, here's my pro tip to you. When we are downstairs for donut time, there are all those long tables set up, and a lot of our seniors who need to sit down are there sitting. Grab a chair. Sit with them, talk to them, ask them questions, get advice for them. First Free Church is a wealth of knowledge, wisdom, and experience. In the book of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, who is his co-worker in spreading the gospel. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:5, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now also lives in you." Timothy's faith story did not begin with him. He had at least two generations of women who helped influence his faith. The faith of Eunice and Lois, the faith that they had, shaped their decisions, and it overflowed on to others. This is a great reminder that mature believers should invest in the spiritual growth of younger Christians. Parents, teaching your kids about God does not need to be your sole responsibility. You are the primary, but the church is here to provide support. We as a church can help partner with you in teaching your kids about God. Having kids build relationships with other kids who love God and be poured into by leaders who love God is priceless. A few years ago, I was part of the Women's Neighborhood Bible Study here at First Free, and our topic for the semester was heaven. And one of the questions that was asked was something like, "Are you afraid of dying and going to heaven?" And I had to think, like, no, I'm not. But I was transported back to my childhood, and I remembered sitting at the dining room table at my parents' house. I think it was at Thanksgiving time. I was young. I was with my sister, my mom and dad, my grandma, my grandpa, and my great aunt Elzina. Isn't that the best name, Aunt Elzina? But our conversation revolved around the topic of heaven. And my grandpa said, I am ready to leave this earth at any time because I know where I'm going, and where I am going is with the Lord. It will be better than any place that I've ever experienced before. And I tell you what, I had never thought about dying. I had never really considered where I would go. But having that discussion with my grandpa and the rest of that group of family members helped provide for me a confidence, a security, knowing my grandpa knew exactly where he was going when he died. He was going to meet his Lord. And I could say at that moment in Bible study, I am confident of where I'm going. Having the opportunity to spend time with my grandpa and with other older generations was beneficial to me in being part of a Christian community who loved me and who helped infuse their lives into mine. So get your kids into community. You yourselves get into community and make that a messy, fun, invigorating experience to help project our kids towards Christ. There we go. The last thing, number four, pray to God on behalf of your children. Jesus loves our kids and he wants the best for them, regardless of their age, if they're really little or if they are grown adults. Our kids benefit from our prayers on their behalf to God. Pray that God would give you wisdom in how you influence your kids to be passionate about following God. We truly want to pass down not just head knowledge to our kids, but we want them to be ignited and passionate and hungry to be in a close relationship with God. I like to think that when Jesus was doing ministry, which we read about in the Gospels, if people knew that Jesus was around, instead of praying to him, they would go to him. They went and saw him. And when those parents brought their kids to Jesus in the book of Mark, and the disciples tried to discourage them and told them to go away, Jesus did this. Mark 10:16 says, and he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. Jesus wants to bless our children. He wants to hear our prayers regarding our children. If you're sitting here today thinking, none of this has ever been modeled to me, I am feeling very far behind. I want to say to you, it's not too late. God loves you right where you are, and he promises to help you on this journey. You can start today by surrendering to God and modeling a Christ-centered life for your kids. Follow the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. For those of you who feel like you're doing okay on this parenting journey, well done. Keep up the good work. One of our highest callings in life is to help lead our children to Christ. However, kids have a choice. We might do all these things, and we might do them really well, but there is no guarantee that our kids will choose Christ. They have free will and they have their own stories to write. A friend of mine has reminded me often that our kids' stories are not over yet. God is not done with them. Pray, pray, and be on your knees for your kids. Let me be your biggest cheerleader here. Hear me when I say God loves you and he wants your heart. He wants your love, and he wants you to teach your kids. And I want to leave you with this final challenge. Surround your kids with God. Impress the faith of God onto the hearts of your kids. Surround them with layer upon layer of Jesus, Christian friends, Christian adults, Bible reading, stories of God and his people, service to God, so that they are so hemmed in and snug with the influences of Christ that they may choose to be passionate followers of him and continue to make an impact on this world and for Christ for generations to come. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for teaching us the best way to live our lives, loving you with all that we have. God, I pray for the next generation of God-fearing kids that we have right here in this church. I pray that their love for you would grow. And I pray for every adult in this congregation, Lord, that they would live their lives for you, that they would give their hearts to you, that they would be an example to the children around them. Use each one of us, Lord, as your vessel to ignite this next generation for Christ. We ask all these things, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.